All right, let's open up. We've been discussing the book of Ephesians. Heavenly Father, we just pray right now that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. We thank you that you have given us to understand the mysteries. Oh, the mysteries. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul is writing, and here he says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles." When was the last time you ever referred to yourself as a prisoner of God? I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, I got grace, I got grace. Paul called himself a prisoner of God. We're a prisoner, and when you're a prisoner, your life belongs to someone else. When you get put in prison, you don't get to do whatever you want anymore. You are on somebody else's schedule doing what somebody else tells you all the time. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, I don't have my own life anymore. He says that in Galatians chapter 2. He says, "For I am dead, but Christ lives in me. Therefore, the life I now live, I live in Christ. I live unto Christ, not to myself." And so here, this is saying the same thing. He's saying, on behalf of the Gentiles, who Paul is sent to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, he says, I am a prisoner. You have heard, haven't you, about the administration of God's grace that he gave me for you. So there's this word administration is sometimes, it's translated as administration or dispensation. It really is just as given as a job. It's his job to minister the grace of God to the Gentiles. The mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have briefly written above. What has he just briefly written above? That he is sent as to minister as a servant of God, the grace of God through Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. By reading this, verse 4, you are able to understand my insight about the mystery of the Messiah. This was not made known to people in other generations, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, there was an understanding, and see, we can go back and we can look, and you can see throughout the Old Testament that there's something that is a mystery, and that is God told Abraham in his seed, in Abraham's seed, all nations would be blessed. And Paul says in Galatians, he says, it's not seed as in many seeds, but as one seed. So it's not through the entire nation of Israel that the world is blessed, but it's through the seed. Is that the seed of Isaac? No, the seed is actually Jesus. The seed is the one that God talked about when he told Satan in the Garden of Eden. He said, I have one who's coming who's greater than you. And you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. Right? Come on. He's going to crush your head. Jesus is the seed. He is the seed. In him, because he is the seed, when we receive him, 1 John says the seed refers to the seed, which is Jesus, has been placed in us. So then now we become part of that same seed. And with God, it doesn't matter if you came from a long line of Hebrews. If your great 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 grandfather was David, it doesn't matter. What matters is the seed. The seed. Each and every one of us who have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have the seed in us. So we are part of the seed. This is the mystery, that we are now the seed through Jesus Christ. We are the seed with him of the mystery. We're the bringers of salvation. Paul says, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That means that as the seed, it is our job, just as it was his job and is his job, to reconcile people unto God. Hallelujah. You got a ministry, whether you thought so or not. Let's see. The Gentiles, verse 6, are co-heirs, members of the same body, and partners of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now, if you were here and we went through the whole book of Acts, and it took us several months to go through the whole book of Acts, we did a chapter a week because that's about all you can really do with the book of Acts. And it, so obviously, you know, about 27 weeks. The big deal that we had in Acts chapter 10 where Peter has a vision. And God lowers down in this vision a sheet with all kinds of animals. And he says, take, eat. And Peter says, no, 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 I would never do that. I've never eaten anything unclean or ceremonially impure. Three times, right? He comes out of the dream. He says, perplexed. What does the dream mean? Because he's a good Jewish boy. He's not eating anything. God said, don't eat. Okay? So he's thinking, what does this all mean? And so he gets these visitors. And they say, we're going to take you over here, and we've got somebody who's called for you. And so they're going to go, and it's Cornelius. And so they go to Cornelius' house the next day. Cornelius is a Gentile, but he's a servant of God. He worships the God of Israel. Now, because of that outer wall of separation that we talked about, he could never go into the temple. But remember, in chapter 2, we talked about that God removed the middle wall of separation that had been there separating the Jews and the Gentiles. So Peter, is this coming together? It's all, like, it's all starting to come together. The vision he sees when he's at Cornelius' house is that when he preaches the gospel, the Gentiles receive, and they receive the Holy Spirit also. And he says, now I understand Gentiles are not unclean. They can receive the gift of salvation also. Come on, that's you and me. We're the Gentiles. We're now co-heirs together. So Paul is writing, this is his mystery, the mystery that's been given to him to reveal that to the nations. That you don't have to be a physical descendant of Abraham, but you come in through the seed, which is Jesus Christ. So we are the seed. He is the seed. He is in us. I was made a servant, verse 7, of this gospel by the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. So, verse 8, this grace was given to me, the least of all the saints. This is the man who writes most of the New Testament. I'm the least of all the saints. It's good to be humble and know you aren't the top, right? To proclaim to the Gentiles I have the HCSB, Holman Christian Standard Bible. To proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of the Messiah. Incalculable. In other words, you can't sit down with a calculator or on a computer and figure out what the riches of God in the Messiah are valued at. You can't calculate it. There's no calculating, because with God, even if he were to run out, there's an endless supply because he can't run out. So you've got the incalculable riches of the Messiah, and to shed light for all about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. This is a joy for him. He says, I get to go around revealing the hidden mysteries that are in Messiah to all the nations. He gets to do this. You get to do it too, wherever you're at, in your home, when you're at the grocery store. You get to reveal, you get to be one of those that is a revealer of the hidden mysteries. I'm a co-heir with Jesus Christ. I have incalculable riches. The glory of God is in me. The glory of God follows me. The glory of God is when I go to church. Oh, come on, you should see it. When I go to church, we all get together, the glory of God comes in. Right? The glory of God is available. This is so God's multifaceted. I just love this. Multifaceted. So you see up here the corrugated metal up there? That's multifaceted. It's multifaced. It doesn't have just a front and a back. Each and every one of those ridges is another facet. So we're talking not with God. When we look at that, that's what looking at God is like. He's multifaceted. You'll never get done looking at him where you've seen everything there is to see about him, because he goes on and on forever. We've talked about this before. God is light. So he's traveling. What did we say the speed of light is, Dad? 186,000, roughly 186,000 miles per second. And God lives there. God is that. And every time you look at him, you're going to see some new little something on every little facet of him, which gives us to where we read in Scripture that the angels fly around him shouting, "Holy, holy, holy." Why? Because every time they go around him, they see something different. They scream, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord," because they're seeing something new all the time. If you don't like noise, you don't want to go to heaven because it's going to be noisy. The angels are there screaming, "Holy, holy, holy." This is God's multifaceted wisdom. It's so that God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. In other words, when Paul writes and he says, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and might and dominion and authorities and rulers in the heavenly places, he's saying, you get to take authority over them. They look at you and go, what are you? You're just man. Yet God is mindful of you. And God has put his authority in you. And God has put his wisdom in you. And he's made it available to you. So when you're going through a time, you don't have to wonder, oh my God, what are we going to do? Oh, it's just never been this bad. I don't know if we'll make it through this time. Well, you've got the multifaceted wisdom of God on the inside of you. It baffles those in authority in the heavenly realms. How is it that they can have peace going through this? Because we know Jesus. And I've got the multifaceted wisdom of God. I don't have to get all upset when something goes wrong. I can walk in love. I don't agree with everything you say. That don't matter. Because I love you. I love you. I don't have to get bent out of shape. You got a spouse. Everybody has one. That has one knows they're going to bend you out of shape. You have children. They are going to bend you out of shape. Why? Because that's your job. But your battle isn't with them. Kathy hurt her knee. We don't know how she does it, but it's her meniscus. And she's done it a few times. And she was working yesterday, and they've got an orthopedic surgeon who has braces, and she kept thinking to herself, I hope he asks what's wrong with my knee so I can tell him, and then he can tell me what to do. And so she told him, and he said, well, it sounds like your meniscus, whatever, tendon or something. And he says, if you go home and put it up and the ice works, you're fine. He says, if you've had this happen before, then you're fine. He says, if it doesn't, you're going to probably need surgery, which is what you're dealing with right now, right? So this is my thing. When Kathy's home, she's always busy doing something. And she's going to make dinner, and she's going to make breakfast, and she's going to be doing something. But the whole day yesterday, she's home with her leg up, watching Chopped. And I'm thinking, come on, it can't be that bad. It can't be that bad. And I'm working really hard, because she asked me today, she said, are you mad at me because I hurt my knee? I said, I am, but I'm getting over it because I know it's not your fault. And I know that my problem isn't with you, it's in me. I've got the problem because if I'm upset because of what you're doing, you're not the problem. And if I start to get mad at you, then the devils are rejoicing because I've just sank down to their level. You know that's right, don't you, Regina? Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the powers and principalities and the rulers and authorities that are in the heavenly places. Verse 11, this is according to his eternal purpose, accomplished in Messiah, Jesus our Lord. In him we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. So then I ask you not to be discouraged over afflictions, my afflictions on your behalf, for they are your glory. Listen, we have boldness and confident access to him. When I first came to the Lord, and I was in a little Assembly of God church, and it's where Kathy and I met, and the pastor, he hadn't, if I played a Kenneth Copeland tape, he'd say, oh, you just think you're better than I am, don't you? And I'm like, no, I like listening to him. And eventually he got into Kenneth Copeland and, you know. But before then he'd talk about, you know, oh, the heavens are brass above us. I'm like, the what? Heavens are brass above us? I thought we could come boldly into the throne of grace, that we had boldness and confidence to come into his presence anytime. That means that there's no brass heavens over you. So when you're praying, please understand that you're not praying against a hard wall. You're praying to a heavenly God. It's as if we're, in Ephesians, it says that we are seated together in him in the heavenly places. We're seated together with him. There's no brass heaven between me and him at the heavenly throne, is there? There's no brass heaven there. There's no brass nothing. This is brass right here. That's not what it sounds like when you pray. It sounds like when you pray, like you're having a conversation with your father. It's like, hey, Dad, I've got this problem, and I need to talk to you about it. And it's just that easy. And when we pray and when we're talking to him, we should, come on, I know that Joy Behar said that if Jesus talks to you, you're crazy because when she, you know, because she's such an authority in the field, right? But when you talk to somebody, if they don't talk back to you, come on, when we talk to God, we should expect him to speak to us. We should expect him to respond to us. We should expect not to hear audible voices, okay? But we should expect to hear him in our heart. So I'm talking to him about a few things about church. And I'm having a hard time because I feel like I'm supposed to let go of something. And I don't like letting go of things. You know, especially things that are good and spiritual in my mind. But if they're just causing work and they're not being productive, then some things we need to let go of. Just because we've always done it is no reason to always do it. Do you know what I'm saying? That's not a good reason. There's things like laundry that you'll always have, that you'll always have to do, that will never go away. Verse 14, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Every family that is under him is named under him. In Hebrew, it's Hashem. It means the name. In Hashem, in him, in the name of God, we all have now that same name given to us. It's like when Abraham and Sarah had the promise that they were going to have a son. And in Abraham, all nations would be blessed. Right? God took their names, Abram and Sarai, and added the Vod, which is from his name, Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh. Oh, it's the Hey, I'm sorry. Hey! It's the Hey that he adds to their names. Abraham, from Abram to Abraham, from Sarai to Sarah, God put his name in them. Okay? His name is in you. He has, in Jesus, you are in Jesus. You are now in Christ. You are in Jesus. You're in Yeshua. It's like I am part of, remember we've talked about this, I'm part of that body. I'm part of that building. I'm part of the temple. I'm part of the work that God is doing right now. I'm in him. Okay, verse 16. I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power in the inner man through his spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. As on Saturday night, when kids gave their hearts to the Lord's here, I said, remember, this is June 9th, 2018. When you don't feel like you're saved, you remember June 9th, 2018, I gave my heart to Jesus. My life became his. It's no longer mine. Mine is March 29th, 1996. It was about 9:15 p.m. No matter how I feel, no matter how undeserving I feel, I can always go back to that and say, no, I'm saved. I gave my life to Jesus on March 29th, 1996. It was in that little four-square church in Orchid, California. It was about 9:15 p.m., and God came in and gloriously filled my heart. And so from then on out, I always know I'm saved, no matter how grubby and yucky I feel from the world. I am in him. He lives in me, and by faith, because some days, you know, you're saved too. You know, some days you got to live it by faith. Because there's some things you want to say and some things you want to do in the flesh, but our battle is not against the flesh and blood. It's against the powers and rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Amen? Here we go. I pray that you, verse 17, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love. Come on. We could spend our entire lives, the rest of our lives here on earth, trying to comprehend the depth of his love, trying to comprehend the width of his love. Can you go anywhere and you can't, and you can escape the love of God? Is there anywhere you can go and escape? There's nowhere you can go. There's no height or depth or width that you can go to escape the love of God. And to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge. Listen, it's the love of God. When someone will come and die for you, and you probably disdained them at the time that they died for you, where you wanted to have nothing to do with him, but he died for you. That's the love of Jesus. It surpasses knowledge. It's hard to comprehend that someone would die for you. I mean, I would die for my kids. I don't know who else I'd die for. I'd die for Kathy. Some of you I might die for. I don't know. It depends on the circumstances. But the thing is that I'm not Jesus. I don't have that same ability, but I can spend the rest of my life trying to understand it, trying to understand the love that surpasses his love, which it says surpasses knowledge. It's incomprehensible that someone would do that. So you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. When we will seek that, when we will seek the love of God, when we will try to understand, and man, because you could meditate on the love of God, and you could think about how that love's been shed abroad in your heart, how that literally means that it's been splattered like a paint balloon. It's like he took a love balloon and splattered it inside your heart, and it went everywhere, and it's dripping from every area of your heart. Right now, his love that's been shed abroad in your heart is fixing things. It's mending things. His love is dripping inside your heart, and it's causing you to fold to him. And his love contains the riches of God's glory. And his love contains the power of God, because it's his love. And it's beyond anything that we could ask or imagine. But to be able to start to think, because I can do that right now. I can sit here and I can think. And I can imagine the inside of my heart. And his love has been splattered abroad in there, and it's dripping, and it's running into places, dark places, and it's causing healing in my heart from hurts. It's causing healing in my heart from disappointment. It's causing healing. It's causing rejuvenation in Jesus' name. Oh, come on. That's so good. To him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Book of Ephesians is my favorite book in the whole Bible. But you got to go through the book of Acts before you go really thoroughly through to the book of Ephesians. But here, I mean, this is Paul's heart. We're at Paul's heart when we're reading his letters to the churches. We're getting a glimpse into his heart. We're getting a glimpse into his mind. We're getting a glimpse into what it's like for someone who so persecuted the church. He said in one of his letters to Corinth, he said, I have harmed no man, I've done no man wrong. For someone who persecuted the church the way he did, to be able to come to the place in God's love where he can say, where he can speak and he can put in writing, I have harmed no man, I've done no man wrong. The love of God that's in us, if we'll let the love of God be in us like Paul understood the love of God was in him, we can say, my past is behind me. I've done no man wrong. I've harmed no one. And move forward in the love of God. Then we can truly, truly be used by God. We can truly love others. We can truly love our spouse. We can truly love our children. When we begin to really understand that it's that love that makes all things possible, then we'll begin to know and understand and comprehend with all the saints the love of God.